I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Welcome to Radio Times. The week before Jovan Weaver became the principal of Wister Elementary School in the East Germantown section of Philadelphia, 2 6-year-olds in the city were shot, one near the school. This was the start of the 2016 school year, and Weaver used that incident to tell his teachers his own story of growing up poor and neglected and vulnerable, just like many of the students at Wister. That's how Kevin McCrory begins the second season of his podcast, Schooled. He's a reporter for WHYY's Keystone Crossroads and spent that year documenting what it was like for teachers and students and administrators and families at Wister transitioning from a public school to a charter school run by Mastery. It wasn't easy, and there was a lot at stake. There's been a long-standing fight in Philadelphia over public and charter schools and which ones are better equipped to teach children who live in low-income neighborhoods with families often in crisis. Kevin McCrory joins us on Radio Times along with Jovan Weaver to tell us about that year, what was at stake. Kevin, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
So excited to be here, Marty.
And Jovan, nice to have you with us as well.
Thanks for having me, Marty.
I'd like to know what you told those teachers that first day when you were principal, your first kind of introduction to the teachers at your school.
I just kind of walked through the story of a young man who experienced some severe trauma in his childhood and, you know, overcame it, you know, and I didn't, you know, I was trying to, you know, create some suspense there. You know, there was, you know, as Kevin noted, just a ton of nerves. It's really my first time in front of a staff of 50. And, you know, I have Kevin there and, you know, I have
a lot at stake.
Right. Photographers in the back. I'm like, I need them to understand, you know, the leader that they have in front of them. And so, you know, I just wanted to, you know, kick the year off, you know, with a really thoughtful and, you know, personal story just to accelerate the relationships that I'm able to build with my staff.
And you were obviously talking about yourself.
Absolutely.
And I have to say, pretty much the first episode of Schooled, Kevin, is really about Jovan. And Jovan, you have such an important story to tell. It's hard to hear it because you didn't know your dad. Your mom had drug problems. You lived in some really dangerous neighborhoods. There was violence inside the family. What were you like as a little kid?
Resilient. Focused. Just, you know, had a desire and a passion to, you know, do something, you know, more than what I was surrounded by. Wanted to be more. And, you know, I was also at the same time, you know, fully aware of my surroundings and the hurt and the pain. There was just oftentimes that, you know, I would run away. So just, you know, hyper-conscious of what's happening and knowing that as a child that this is not a surrounding that, you know, any child should, you know, want to have to grow up in or experience.
Where did you run to when you ran away?
I would run to my godmother's home.
You know, so there were people, I know you had a grandmother as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But my grandmother, you know, during that time, you know, she stayed with us. You know, so I would literally, you know, just walk, you know, miles from North Philadelphia to West Philadelphia, you know, to a haven, to a place where I was comfortable, to a place where I felt loved and, you know, wanted.
Kevin, we hear Jovan's mom, Robin, we hear you interview her, and she's also talking about what she was like as a mom, what Jovan was like as a child.
Absolutely.
And it's quite emotional. I feel it right this moment, I have to say.
Yeah, you know, she was very open about the mistakes that she made in the past and the demons that she suffered. And, you know, we all sat down, the three of us that day, and had that interview. And I think, you know, Jovan was hearing things that he probably hadn't heard before. Mm-hmm. You know, and it took her a long time to, I think, come to a point where she could face what she had done and even talk about it with Jovan. And, you know, I think that that's still somewhat unresolved. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, they have a relationship and she's, you know, the grandmother to Jovan's children. But, mm-hmm. you know, that's still a difficult subject. Mm-hmm.
There's a point at which you go back to, I guess it's your old neighborhood in the Strawberry Mansion section of Philadelphia to see the street where you lived, your home, and it becomes quite emotional to you. And, you know, I use this very carefully, but PTSD, we hear about that with soldiers, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Absolutely.
Do you think as a kid or even now, do you think you have some of that?
So I think that, you know, what's Where I've been fortunate is to be, you know, again, awareness is key. And so, you know, understanding the effects of PTSD, and not only that, understanding that, you know, early childhood trauma, you know, it has so many long-term effects, you know, long-term health effects, you know. So, you know, as I'm a 36-year-old male now, you know, I'm consciously thinking about my health and, you know, getting blood work done and making sure that I'm, you know, always aware of my own well-being, because I understand firsthand the effects that all of the early childhood trauma. But again, awareness is key.
Sure.
You know, and the more you're aware of, you know, the trauma or the ACE score and the factors, I mean, again, that's why you can lead a story with, you know, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
You know,
but here you are.
But here I am.
Kevin, you did a little research, and at the time where Javon lived in the Strawberry Mansion section, he lived there mm-hmm. for 3 years. What was the murder rate?
So we saw 200 homicides in that section of Philadelphia
in
that time.
In that one section of Philadelphia.
And in the streets immediately surrounding Javon's house, 11 homicides. Oh. And, you know, when I talked to his mom, she said, you saw – it was an all-out war. You know, you saw people fighting with bats, with guns. You know, she talked about coming to a crime scene and seeing someone's head blown out with their brains inside their hat. And, you know, when I brought it up to Javon, he said, yeah, you know, you hear the gunshots, you hear the police sirens, you see somebody one day, you don't see them the next day. And, you know, what struck me even when we were having that conversation that day was, you know, he said, I kind of didn't really know how to process it until I would see it like in a movie, you know, and then you'd be like putting things together mm-hmm. based on what you see outside in real life and versus what you're seeing, you know, on TV.
Was that something you wanted your teachers to understand? And it's clear that you identify with the students at your school, but wanting them to understand that these kids are oftentimes struggling with something.
I think the biggest message that I wanted them, again, we alluded to the fact that there were 2 6-year-olds that were shot the week before we opened the school. That's, you know, again, severely traumatic to, you know, other students that's entering the building because they were their friends, you know, they were associates. And I actually had my staff canvassing on these streets days before, you know, these incidents happened, you know. So I wanted that to resonate. One, the other piece is that I wanted them to see greatness in every child that walked through our building. And if I can get to this point, and if someone that's standing in front of them can go through all of these experiences, then why can't every single child, 520 plus kids, you know, live the same life or experience greatness the same way? Or, you know, again, you have to see that within every child.
You were really good at puzzles as a little child. Yeah. And I think it was your grandma was
yes,
really proud
that's correct.
Of that.
Absolutely.
But obviously, I mean, puzzles, that takes a lot of cognitive ability.
Absolutely. I love puzzles still to this day.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. You know, puzzles, you know, logic puzzles, games. Actually, just yesterday, I was playing a game of 24 with, you know, a group of, you know, maybe 6 fourth graders. You know, it was just awesome. You know,
how'd you do?
You know, I kind of showed off a little bit. It was double digits.
I think what is also revealing in Javon's story is, like, you know, he has maybe this innate math ability as a kid, and that's the thing that I think people were saying, like, you're good at math. His grandmother was there to, like, you know, just have those conversations with him and kind of start to build that confidence. So he had that academic ability, and it helped him through school. And then, you know, you follow the stories, there's ups and downs, but then he's able to go to college and become this principal and be so successful. Mm-hmm. And that's partly having people in your life to tell you, you're good at this, you can do this.
Absolutely.
And now that's what he's doing with the kids at Worcester.
Well, that leads to our first clip here. You you went to Lincoln High School.
That's correct.
Which is in the Northeast, so I'm sure that was a bit of a trek to get from your home to the Northeast.
Absolutely.
Part of Philadelphia. And there was your geometry teacher, a woman named Marie Brown, Miss Brown, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. And here she is discussing her approach to teaching. And this is from Kevin McCory's new podcast called Schooled.
I was there to save our kids. And I feel there was a certain element on that staff that looked at black kids as trouble. Mm-hmm. And I just felt that I needed to save them. And that was because that's what that man told me. Mm-hmm. Those kids need you. Mm-hmm. And so once he told me those kids, and it just resonates in my head all the time now, they need you, you know, and I'm there.
Did she save you, Javon?
I mean, she was a lifesaver. Uh-huh. And as I, you know, shared in a piece, you know, this is my second year, you know, in Lincoln. You know, it's not like I didn't have other teachers. You know, she was the one who reached out. She was the one who said, like, what is going on with this guy? Like, I'm going to try my best to pull you over, you know, to the good side, you know. And it just never hit me until I'm actually, like, sitting in, like, this holding cell. I'm just like, what am I doing with
my
life?
You were actually, what, arrested at school?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. You know, just physical altercation, got into a fight. And it was embarrassing. It was just, again, it was a life-changing moment. It was a true pivot. And her words truly resonated with me.
She said, you did really well when you were in school. Mm-hmm. I mean, the trick was, or the problem was, you weren't always in school.
That's correct.
And part of it was because of your life outside of school, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
I
yeah.
mean, you had to, you were working.
Yeah, I was working often. So, you know, it was, you know, you felt like you had to, you know, provide for yourself. You know, I had, you know, my cousin at the time, you know, it was, you know, I'm grateful for the fact that, you know, she was able to, you know, take me in. You know, and we worked together, you know, to provide a, you know, a household, you know. And I think that it taught me at a very young age just the value of having a strong work ethic and, you know, pushing through, you know, any obstacles or challenges and, you know, being a provider, you know. And so, yeah.
How did you find Jovan Weaver, Kevin McCoy?
You know, I had done a few in-depth school projects over the years, and, you know, I'm always looking to do something better. And I had a conversation with Scott Gordon, the CEO of Mastery, and he, you know, said, well, maybe Worcester would be an opportunity for you. If you wanted to do that, we would be open to that. And I had followed this whole debate about should Worcester become a charter school or not pretty closely throughout the 2015-16 year as a beat reporter covering the school board meetings, the SRC meetings. So I met Jovan, you know, he seemed like a fine enough guy. And it was that day then when I went there and he greeted his teachers for the first time and he, you know, was telling this story. That I was like, wow, there's a lot of layers of a story here that I would really love to be able to take the time to dig into. And Jovan was very open with me, very honest with me. Mastery was very the same open and gave me incredible access to the school, which is you know, not common, honestly. Mm-hmm. It would be very difficult to do this sort of story in most of the schools in Philadelphia, but they, you know, were open to me. And, you know, it took a long time, and I'm glad I was able to put the time into it and the care into it to bring it to a point that I think is worthwhile.
Well, let's take a very short break, and I do want to get to the backstory. And as I said in my introduction, Philadelphia has really been a place where there has been this and continues to be this fight over public schools and charter schools. We are talking about Worcester Elementary School and talking with the principal of Worcester, Jovan Weaver, and he is featured and the school is featured in Kevin McCoury's new podcast called Schooled. Kevin is the editor of Keystone Crossroads, the host of WHYY's Schooled podcast. We're going to take a very short break. We're going to play some more clips from Schooled, and we're going to open up the lines at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Much more to discuss after this very short break. We'll be right back.
Failing, society, government, politicians, and school district officials are failing. How dare you label schools as failing when you starve them of resources?
That was Diane Payne, a retired Philadelphia school teacher, at a Worcester parents meeting discussing this.
Actually, a school reform commission meeting.
Oh, a school reform commission. Thank you for that correction. A school reform commission meeting where they were discussing this change at Worcester School from a district school to a charter school. I should add, this is 2015, before Jovan Weaver became the principal at Worcester. What was at stake here, Kevin?
So in October 2015, the superintendent of Philadelphia schools, William Height, proposed turning three city elementary schools into charter schools. They call it the Renaissance conversion. And this has been happening for a while over the past decade or so in Philadelphia. And it's this very contentious process that honestly has pretty mixed results. You know, there's this promise of transformational change at the top, and then you follow down the line a few years. Sometimes it seems like the schools are better, sometimes better compared to a very low baseline, sometimes worse. And, you know, so anytime these things get thrown out there, there's a big debate about it, right? And partly it comes down to this, you know, kind of school reform versus traditional public school debate, which often involves, you know, unions and big philanthropy and, you know, just all these different forces at work who have different visions and ideas for how our public schools should be operated and run. So the debate about Worcester became kind of the flashpoint of the three of those proposals, and I followed it pretty closely as a reporter. Mm-hmm. And you know, there was a lot of intrigue and twists and turns here, because then the superintendent rescinded the proposal. But at that point, you know, Mastery was out in the community, you know, lobbying parents, campaigning parents. People will use different language to describe what they did there.
They did spend some money.
They absolutely spent money to try to get parents excited. Many did. Many parents were dissatisfied with what was happening in that school. Here was an alternative. They got excited about it, and then they came out pretty much in force when the superintendent rescinded his proposal, and you heard, you know, some fiery testimony at this January 2016 SRC meeting, which pushed a Commissioner Sylvia Sims to reintroduce this proposal. It wasn't on the docket that night. There it comes up. It's a surprise. It gets the vote. It passes. Now, that just continued the process. It wasn't a slam dunk like it happened at that moment. But anyway, so all that intrigue was there. There were conflict of interest accusations. The rhetoric heated up tremendously. You had parents in East Germantown for it, against it, pitted against each other, sniping at each other. It became a very tense, almost toxic situation. Now, you can say that was worth it in the end, right? Or you can debate that fact.
Well, I guess we don't know the answer to that yet. But Jovan, at what point were you named principal of Worcester?
Received word maybe a week or two prior to the SRC announcement. I believe the SRC announcement was April 28th, so a few weeks prior. And again, I just remember, you know, watching, you know, the announcement and, you know, just feeling the energy of the parents and the excitement in that room, and just feeling just excitement myself, right? And just like, okay, now it's go time, right? Now.
But did you feel like you were walking into the middle of a fight?
You know, I was not at all, no. Actually, because, you know, my job is I'm in the business of serving kids. And, you know, at that point, it's like I have a community right now. We have a school right now. And we need to turn it around. We need to transform the entire culture. We need to transform all the dynamics right now. We need to make sure that we're a true hub in this community. And so, again, from day one, it was just a level of excitement.
Well, and Kevin, this idea of a failing school, the idea of failing, seemed that rankled a lot of people. I mean, obviously, you're saying something about the teachers. You're saying something, not you,
right,
about the students.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very loaded term. I don't use that term when I write about schools, but I know a lot of people who believe in that idea and believe that it needs to be addressed and confronted. I know other people who think that's you know, it shouldn't be talked about that way, because systemically, you know, the school has not been given a chance to succeed potentially, and educators haven't been put in the best position to do their jobs. So, you know, that's a very contentious thing, and I don't say that.
Well, in fact, let me play one more clip, and we have several others waiting in the wings. This is Liz Healy, a Worcester Elementary instructor, and she's discussing, this is again 2015, or the year before Jovan Weaver becomes the principal at Worcester, but she's discussing how she uses her own money to purchase supplies.
I bought socks this weekend, because I have children coming to go school with no socks. I buy that. They don't give that to me. I buy my own copy paper. I have no math books, no reading books, no workbooks. Everything has to be copied, and that copy paper comes out of my pocket, not theirs. And yet they hold us to the standard, you know, of the suburban schools. I have friends in the suburban schools who are getting iPads. I don't have a math book.
Kevin, I mean, this is how
this is the reality in many Philadelphia schools, right? And so the question partly is, so is there a better way, or what are the other ways that are happening that are potentially affecting children in a better way? Mm-hmm. And so what you see when you delve into the finances between how the school was run as a district school and how it was run as a Mastery charter school, there was an influx of philanthropy that helped make the building a lot nicer. Take that away, and you'll see that it's about the same amount of money exactly spent per child. So then the question becomes, well, how in Javon's school can they have so many more people, so many more supports? They're not struggling with this, you know, copy paper issue and basic supplies where the school district is. And you know, it's wonky and it's complicated, but it really comes down to a few things that Mastery does. A, they only run efficient schools. They really want to have, 25, 26, 27 kids per classroom, which, you know, you could think is a high class size. But when they do that, that allows them to have two teachers in a classroom, maybe, or make sure they have a social worker in the hallway or a dean in the hallway, or make sure everybody
support
has
support staff,
all that support staff. Right. And then you get into a conversation about, well, salary, teacher experience. The teachers are much more experienced, and average salary was higher when the school district was in charge. And right opposite when Mastery was there, not by much, honestly, on salary, benefits. And when we talk about benefits, let's talk about it as the amount the organizations spend on benefits. You see that with the school district, based on really the state making some missteps with the pension fund. School districts across the state have to spend so much money, they're compelled to, on the pension fund. No fault of teachers. Teachers always paid their contributions to that fund. Let's be clear about that. And so then the difference is charter schools have the opportunity to opt out of that system entirely. Right. And so then they're giving, you know, what's essentially like a 401k. And it's much less expensive to do that. In the end, you can argue, OK, so how is the employee going to benefit or not benefit? It's pretty clear if you are a teacher for 30 years and you're in the traditional system, it's better to have a pension.
Sure.
That's absolutely clear. But, you know, if you leave early or all that, that's a whole separate conversation we can have, Marty. We can do tomorrow about pensions. But all that said, so you have to wrestle with this idea of when Mastery's there with the same amount of money per kid, they're able to provide kids a lot more support.
Interesting. Let me just quickly reintroduce everybody. That's Kevin McCrory, again, editor of Keystone Crossroads. He's the host of WHYY's podcast called Schooled. The second season was just released yesterday. It's available wherever you can get your podcasts. Javon Weaver is with us. He's principal of Mastery Charter's John Wister Elementary School, and that's the school that Kevin documents and profiles in this brand new season of Schooled. For you, Javon, we talked about your introducing yourself to the teachers your first day on the job. What was it like the first day of school for you? Where were you?
I was all over the place. It was amazing. Again, just to open the doors to, you know, 500 plus students, you know, it was just to see the excitement on their faces. And again, it's, you know, small things, the aesthetics, right? And that's the first thing that they see.
One of the first things you wanted was get the school cleaned up.
Hey, listen, I'm a parent of two school-age children, and I always say there's a baseline expectation that at least my child's school is going to be clean. So to walk into a school where, you know, the conditions were clearly deplorable and just, you know, rooms reeking of smells, and there's bars on certain doors, you know, it's like, what type of message are we sending to our children?
So the first thing was to clean this place up and then open the doors to the children.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, baseline expectation, simple things. So again, for them to come in and just to see just that small thing, you know, just levels their, you know, excitement or raises their level of excitement. And again, you just feed off of that energy, you know, first announcements and just being super excited. And
like the first day of school for
you,
right?
It's like, you know, waking up for Christmas, you know, Christmas morning, you know, here's my gift right here. So, you know, thank you.
I do want to play another clip, but let me also give out that phone number. And it's 1-888-477-9499. You can join our conversation talking about education, elementary education, children here in the city of Philadelphia who have many needs, and the work, the efforts of one school, Wister Elementary School in the East Germantown section of Philadelphia, to try to meet those needs. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times to join our conversation. Javon Weaver mentioned the fact that obviously there are about 500 children that go to Wister, and here are voices of some of these kids.
My name is Akash McMichael, but my full name is Akash McMichael Nealerin Bay. Last time, I was here for first and second and half of third. It was okay, but I was messed with a little bit. That's why I was homeschooled.
My name is Naomi Roberts, and I'm 11 years old. I'm not a troublemaker. I don't like doing that stuff. My mom don't play that. Like, I want to grow up to be somebody, be a person that always makes a change, like always stands out from other people.
My name is Tatiana Huber, and I'm 11 years old. This summer, like a six-year-old, it got shot. It feels sad, and sometimes I feel hurt because he was only 6 years old, and I don't want to die too early before I even do what I have to do in this world.
What do you have to do in this world?
Pursue my dreams.
It's just beautiful and heartbreaking. We're all tearing up here listening to Tatiana and some of these other students as well. But this gets back to you, Jovan, about just understanding the reality of these children's lives and also hearing, you know, these young voices with thoughts of the future and wanting to make sure that they have one.
Absolutely. Yeah. We talked a little bit about, you know, my childhood and the impact Ms. Brown had, you know, on my life. And we also talked about the message that I was trying to send to my staff. And, you know, you can ask any member of my staff today, the overwhelming message is to, again, overwhelm our kids with love and positivity. Because, you know, that's what, you know, changed me, and that's what, you know, helped me. And when kids experience things, you know, and they hear Tatiana. And, you know, hearing the podcast was the first time I heard those comments.
Yeah, and it's really powerful. Kevin, let me go to you, because Mastery's mantra is excellence, no excuses. But what I heard from Jovan was love and positivity. I mean, it was a variation on the theme, but a slightly different message.
I think what Mastery will tell you is that they reevaluated that idea a few years back. They still have that tagline, right? Still on the side of the building. It's still in the literature that they put out. They say that that's going to change. But Jovan is absolutely, I think, part of maybe a new vanguard within Mastery, who's kind of leading this charge of, I think Mastery probably says something like love and outcomes.
That's correct.
Jovan says love and positivity.
Yeah. But I'm thinking, even if, and maybe you think of the school as a haven for these children.
Absolutely.
The way school was a haven for you.
Absolutely. And that was the goal. That's what we're going to continue to create. Just an environment of, they can walk through those doors and they know that there's someone that they can talk to. They know that there's someone that they're going to, you know, give them a smile. You know, there's someone that's going to be there. There's someone that's going to support them every step of the way. So when you talk about creating a safe space, this space of social belonging, like, that's exactly what we aim for.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in many ways, and listening to your podcast, Kevin, it's teaching is about relationships. Yes, it's about learning. It's mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. test scores and all mm-hmm. these things. But bottom line, this teacher that mm-hmm. saw you, Jovan, and absolutely. Said, there's someone in there who's going to make a difference.
And we all know that, right?
We do know that.
It's so intuitive.
We had teachers right? like that,
that's,
right?
That's what happened with us, right? We connected with certain people or we didn't. And the people you connect with, you learn from more. It's so obvious, right? But it becomes so trapped in this conversation about kind of everything else.
Right.
And especially when you're talking about schools where kids are coming in with such deficits, such needs. That connection, I think, can be a lot harder, and it mm-hmm. takes a special person who's really resilient, who is, goes into the job every day, and it's not easy, right? And, you know, we feature this teacher, Bahir Hayes, in there and in the podcast, and I think we have a clip from him.
We do.
But, he talks about this mindset he's putting on every single day. You know, he's going into battle. He's a warrior. He's dead serious about the way he thinks about his job. It's absolutely essential to him, and he's able to do it day in, day out, I think, because and he loves sports, you know. So he thinks of himself like a Michael Jordan, like a Kobe Bryant. Like, he's out there on the floor, like, you know, in a fixed mindset, teaching every day, you know.
Well, let me play a clip from school, and then this is teacher Bahir Hayes, and he's discussing his approach to teaching the kids at Worcester.
I mean, we got a child that just got shot 10 times. You know, this is their reality. So they have to learn how to be themselves, but how to be a better version of themselves. So I have to show them I'm still me. I'm still the guy that grew up in the hood too, you know. But you got to learn how to code switch. And there's times you're going to have to be in an interview and give eye contact. It's times that you're going to be asked to do something that you don't like, but because it's your job, you got to learn, you know, to to put on the elbow grease and get it done.
Where and how did you find Bahir Hayes?
Bahir Hayes was a master teacher in our network, and he was looking for more of an opportunity to be a leader. And so, you know, I remember sitting down with Bahir at a Dunkin' Donuts, you know, May 2016, like, you know, hey, you know, here's this amazing opportunity that I'm going to present you, you know, to come on board, you know, to, you know, have this core group of students, but then also be a teacher leader within our building.
Right. And Kevin, I remember when you were working on this podcast, we were talking and you described what it was like for you to observe him teaching.
Yeah, I was in his classroom multiple times. And I mean, you just see the kids absolutely locked into everything he's saying. And he just has that personality where he's able to command your attention and not be like rigid and overly strict about it, but like demand excellence while joking around, while making those relationships with kids, while just setting high expectations and just, you know, never settling for less than that. And get, you know, kids would be, you know, try to fall asleep, he's right in their face, you know, and he's loud and he's boisterous. And I think maybe that would rub certain people the wrong way. Maybe he wouldn't work in every school in the country, right? But he absolutely worked in that school.
Wow.
And that was, you know, fascinating to see because, and again, we see in the podcast, you know, the kids would go across the hall to another teacher, same group of kids, and it was a different story.
Right. In fact, I do want to talk about that, but we do have to take a very short break. We've got some comments coming in, and we are talking about one school here in Philadelphia called Wister Elementary School. It's in the East Germantown section of Philadelphia. We're talking about a year in that school, the academic year 2016-2017. And our guest, Kevin McCrory, who is a editor for WHYY's Keystone Crossroads and host of Schooled, his new podcast, telling us about what he learned covering the school. And also with us is Javon Weaver, and he's the principal of Wister. 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Much more to talk about after this very short break. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking with Javon Weaver and Kevin McCrory about a school here in Philadelphia. Wister Elementary School was a district school for a number of years, and it's now being run by a charter school called Mastery. An email from Pat. There's something morally and ethically wrong about the way schools are funded. Our society is shortchanging ourselves, the potential of so many children. The success of my suburban child depends on the education of the inner city child. All for one, one for all. A tweet from Bill. Thanks for your reporting on this topic. How do charter schools address the needs of special ed students? Can you address that, Kevin?
Sure. You know, they have to do the same thing that traditional public schools do. I think that you'll find that as a whole, if you look at the whole, the city traditional school system is serving a higher percentage of the, quote, harder to serve students. Now, at a Renaissance charter school where it's based on the neighborhood boundaries, it would probably be about the same.
Right.
And I think what you saw here was that when Mastery came in, the special education population went up, and I think it's gone up even more since then. And that can trip up some charter schools, absolutely. And, you know, we talked about how they're successful Renaissance charter conversions, and there's not so successful, and ones that completely didn't work. You know, we can look at an example of one that didn't work pretty much entirely because the special education needs were so high and that school could not handle it.
Right.
And they essentially abandoned the school and backed out of it and turned it back over to the school district. And you talk to the families in that neighborhood, and I mean, they've just went through the ringer for the past couple of years.
I do want to talk about the parents. Javon, we heard Bahir Hayes, obviously a very gifted teacher. What do you look for in a teacher?
So there's a variety of things that, you know, we look for. Or at least, you know, our recruitment team look for in a teacher. And I think first and foremost, you know, it's a personality type, you know, culturally proficient and aware of, you know, the needs of the children that you're going to be working with. You want people that's going to be dedicated to the craft because it's a true lifestyle. It's not necessarily, you know, a job. And, you know, you vet certain candidates, you know, through certain questions. You know, you talk about mindset often, you know, and that's something that, you know, we really, really want to focus on because you have to have the right mindset, you know, to, you know, work with, you know, a certain population of students. So I would say those are some of the top things that we look for.
There's a teacher, Nate Higgins, who you profile, Kevin, who he's the teacher across the hall from Bahir Hayes, had worked in doing something else and didn't find it particularly satisfying. He thought, I really want to work with kids. He started with sports and then moved into the classroom, and he seemed really well-intentioned.
Oh, absolutely.
But,
and, you know, I think and everybody at Worcester would say, like, you know, he's a great guy, and he tried really hard. But, you know, this is really, really difficult work, and especially for people in their first few years of teaching, I think anywhere will tell you that, like, it's a struggle, and you have a lot to figure out. And so you have this balance between, like, you know, wanting to give professionals time to develop and become the people that they want to be and as effective as they want to be. And you also have this situation where, again, the promise was made to the families in that neighborhood that transformational change was going to occur. And so, you know, you can't have somebody learning and struggling
right.
to deliver lessons and think that that's going to work out. So, you know, there's a calculus there. And there's probably many different opinions on what should be done in that situation. Javon was of the opinion that he needed to put a different teacher in that classroom, and that's what happened.
Well, and interestingly, it was a woman teacher, Tamika.
That's correct.
Goes into the classroom. I'm not sure what the word is, but she, you know, she might not have been hired by another.
Well, she's not certified as
she's
a teacher in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And
well,
he was, and he has a master's degree.
Okay.
She has a bachelor's degree, and she's not certified. Mm-hmm. You know, he's white, she's black. That mm-hmm. played into it, it seemed. You talk to the children, it played into it.
That well.
You talk to her, it played into it. I mean, she was very open with me about her style and about her thoughts. And, you know, she is on a civil rights mission.
Yeah.
Okay? And, she's a math teacher, but she's on a civil rights mission. And she is tying, you know, the lessons of oppression and injustice into every math lesson that she's teaching. And that worked for her with that group of kids in that school.
Do you think race matter? The race of the teacher, Javon, matters for kids?
I do not. It absolutely doesn't matter. It's about effective or ineffective teaching. Again, we don't have a minute to waste. We want to, you know, maximize instructional time, you know, with our kids. And we do believe that, you know, the issues that we have with education these days is a civil rights, you know, issue of our times, you know. And so, you know, you have a teacher who, you know, was a support teacher who, you know, we observed multiple times, had great relationships with students, you know, built, and that's exactly what we needed, you know, in their role as a catalyst for their growth.
Let me see what looks like Maurice from Southwest Philadelphia has to say. And Maurice, go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty.
Hi there.
I just wanted to say I was a parent volunteer for 5 years at the Lee School in West Philadelphia at my son's school, and I was on the leadership team, climate team, site selection, selecting teachers, and principal selection committees. And what I found over the years that the most important thing was a strong leader. Mm. And hearing Javon and you know, listening to the podcast, I can see he is the hope of the future for the school district of Philadelphia. You know, being a strong volunteer as a parent and also on Parents United for Public Education and many other things, looking at public education, trying to support them, those are the key things that turn around the school. So I applaud him, and I hope that he rubs off on other principals and leaders in the school district.
Well, Maurice, I really appreciate the call, and thank you for all that volunteering that you do.
Absolutely.
And, you know, parents play such an important role.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that's the first thing I always say. You know, I wouldn't actually be in my role if it wasn't for the parents in the community of East Germantown, you know. And so I'm grateful at every given moment. And, again, I feel a commitment and I feel a duty to serve them, you know, almost to a burden, you know, to make sure that we recreate and transform that school. So.
Kevin, you've been in a lot of schools. You've seen a lot of principals, teachers. How important is the principal?
I mean, it's everything, right? I mean, it's and then again, it's obvious. It's the thing that you know in any job that you're in, right? Who's in charge? And what kind of person are they? And what kind of vision do they set forth? How can they build energy to do anything, right? Is it? It's like, you know, putting up drywall or mowing a lawn or whatever. Whatever the job is, I feel like it's the same ingredients that go into success. Mm-hmm. And in a school specifically, you know, it's clear, right? You have to trust your teachers to do what's happening in every single classroom, right? Javon had 19 classrooms. So you have to pick the people that you think are going to be successful and then support them and then communicate with them. And I mean, that's the job. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What about burnout? And I have to say, listening to a year at your school, mm-hmm. Jovan, mm-hmm. There's a lot going on. There's a lot at stake. Mm-hmm. It's really hard work. Mm-hmm. We're talking about children. Do you worry about burnout?
I worry about burnout more so for my staff, not so for myself. And so I'm so big on just building a positive adult culture. You know, if I'm asking my, you know, teachers to overwhelm our kids with love and positivity, then we have to do a solid job as a leader to make sure that they're supported, that they feel like they're in a great environment to work, that, you know, any needs that they have can be met, you know, in the moment. And so, you know, that's big for me. And so I think that, you know, when I walk around my school, it feels good. It doesn't feel like, you know, like I'm pushing myself to the point of burnout. It feels like we're pushing towards results. Like, this is going to be a great place to be.
And what about kids who get in trouble? I mean, kids are going to get in trouble. How do you deal with that?
I mean, again, we have a full, you know, culture team. You know, so this is a district, they have climate managers. We have a full culture team. And again, we try to, you know, go through a variety of steps. We have a toolbox, you know, to deal with a variety of, you know, behaviors or emotional disturbances. You know, we have full plans in place for certain students that may exhibit, you know, frequent behaviors. You know, we reach out to parents. We have home visits. You know, we have, you know, sit down, have restorative meetings, you know. We're big on restorative practices. And again, it's all about building relationships. You can't always bring the hammer down on students. It's not always about a mm-hmm. consequence, you know. So again, meet the kid where they are. Give them a voice.
These are elementary school kids. So
Absolutely.
They're, what, 5 years old? Through 11. Does anyone ever get expelled from your school?
No.
I mean, they're just too little, right?
No. I mean, and again, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of meeting a kid, you know, needs exactly where they are. You know, there's something going on. Let's really drill down. Let's figure it out. Let's figure out, you know, if it's, again, a matter of bringing a parent in and figuring out that we can support the parent at home with, you know, whatever services we can support them with. Again, we take a holistic approach. You know, it's about really serving the whole child and whatever that child needs.
One of the things you hear in the Kevin. Podcast, you know, I talked to, again, to this teacher, Bahir Hayes, and, you know, at the very end of the year, I said, so was this a success? What do you think, you know? And his answer had nothing to do with test scores, had nothing to do with anything except the fact that he saw the real human growth in his kids. He felt like they were better people. Huh. And he talked about this girl, Erica, who he said really, you know, was considered a problem. And she got in fights. And she was behavioral and had issues with that. And in his mind, you know, maybe another school would have, you know, kicked her out or I don't know, put her to the side. And he really said he made it his mission to bring her into the fold and to really try to forge a relationship with him. And so, you know, even after the school year ended, she came back to see him. And like that right there, like, said volumes to him. And at graduation, at the fifth grade graduation ceremony, she was the one who introduced the ceremony that day. And she was there standing next to the girl who she had fought with all year. And that was a big moment for that school.
Phone number 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. And I hate to bring this up after this really inspiring story that you just told, Kevin, but how much do you have to look at test scores, teach to the test? I mean, it seems that all schools are under the gun, so to speak, to make sure their children perform well on these tests. And if you perform well, then you get, you know, all sorts of goodies. If you don't, then you're in detention, essentially.
Yeah, we don't, you know, again, I love that question because we're not in the business of teaching to a test. We teach the whole child. We teach standards. We teach models. We teach strategy skills. We teach students how to be successful. We teach, you know, qualitative skills, you know, conflict resolution, you know, how to, you know, work out, you know, issues that you may have with a friend. You know, we talk about bullying. We talk about a variety of things. And so, again, it's not about that. And as Bahir said, and that's the message, if we're doing our job throughout the year, mm-hmm. it's not about the test scores. It's about the qualitative growth, you know. And if a child, again, can walk through that door, they know the type of, you know, lesson that they're going to get. They know the quality environment that they're going to, you know, have. They know the quality of teachers that they're going to have. They know that every person loves them in that building. Then they're going to be mm-hmm. successful, and the scores and everything else is going to follow.
You talk to a lot of teachers over the years, Kevin, and it seems, I mean, these are their children.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I think everything Jovan is saying is correct. But yeah, is the hammer over schools' heads, teachers' heads? Absolutely. I mean, the school wouldn't have been converted in the first place right. if it didn't have low test scores. And if all of a sudden, for whatever reason, the scores go down again, you know, you're going to have questions at the school board meeting for should this school continue, right? They're going to be up for reevaluation in a couple of years. It's a 5-year contract to run a charter school, essentially. Right. And so at that meeting, they're going to be looking at that data, and they're going to say, did it work or didn't it, right? And so that plays a huge part into it. Bahir, again, is this person who, first day of school, super cocky, saying, I don't care about the test. If I do my job right, the results are going to be there. And you know what? They were there.
Okay. All right. Let me take, looks like Suzanne from Boyertown to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Suzanne. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I've been very interested in the last months because of a book called The Deepest Well by Nadine Burke Harris, doctor, pediatrician, health advocate, and science researcher, talking about adverse childhood experiences, right. ACEs, and how they figure into so much of what children are able to do or not do, and that there is a protocol for dealing with and helping children who have had adverse childhood experiences. The subtitle of the book is Healing the Long-Term Effects of Childhood Adversity.
Absolutely.
And it just seems like if our educators are not trying to deal with ACEs, they're just...
I hear you.
What can I say?
Yeah, no.
Amputated.
No, I hear you. And I should say that she was a guest on Radio Time, so you can check out the podcast of the show. But, Javon, you mentioned that.
Absolutely. I actually have that book in my right now. It's like part of my reading.
But even in your own self.
Absolutely. Again, you kind of feel some of the limitations. You sense the trauma. You sense the, you know, issues that you may have with certain relationships. And, you know, you start to make like some really like deep connections with, mm-hmm. you know, something that you experienced 20 years ago and the impact that it's having on you now. And so, again, just to be hyper aware of these things, you know, is the key. It's almost the medicine is figure out, like, how can I, you know, right this ship? You know, is it more exercise? Is it better eating? You know, what is the remedy? What
sure.
is the formula?
But do you think a lot of kids in Philadelphia would do poorly, I guess, on the adverse childhood experiences test?
I think so. Sometimes, you know, the neighborhood itself is an ACE.
Right.
Walking out, you know, we talk about, you know, I just, you know, share with my staff, we talk about this positive 3-to-1 ratio. You know, you want to make sure that, you know, with every negative, you know, redirection that you're giving a child, that you're, again, you have 3 positive, you know, redirections, you know, with a child, or, you know, you're reinforcing positive behaviors, you know. And so then I pose the question and just to think about it. And it's something that we talk about in like our cultural context sessions. You know, think about the ones that's not necessarily within the school. You know, think about the fact that, you know, we have, you know, students, you know, cigarette billboards, you know, there are liquor stores on every corner. You know, what type of messages that's sending to our kids every day? You know, they go home and they see, you know, people on the corner, you know, engaging in all types of activity, you know. Again, so in certain, you know, again, our neighborhoods are ACEs. That's yeah. that's one part. Then you figure out you compound it with some of the, you know, in-home, you know, stress or factors that may, you know, happen. Some students aren't eating. Some students don't have a place to stay. You know, they're in shelters, you know. It just compounds, you know. And again, you know, I get into it in my piece, you know, you have to be mindful of these things. If we intimately know the home situation, if a parent is vulnerable enough to give us that information, then we're absolutely going to try our best to support that child.
We're going to end on that note. Javon Weaver, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us
today
on Radio Times. Again, principal of Mastery Charters, John Wister Elementary School. Kevin McCory, thank you very much as well.
My pleasure. Thank you, Marty.
You're welcome. Editor for Keystone Crossroads. He's the host of WHYY's Schooled podcast, the podcast of the second season, just released yesterday, called Schooled, and it's available wherever you can get your podcasts. Same goes for Radio Times. Debbie Bilder and John Ahrens produce Radio Times with the assistance from Alex Stern. Bob Alls, the engineer for today's edition of the show. I'm Marty Moscoing. Thank you for joining us.